Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by State Representative Peter Breen, who represents the 48th District. That is where?
Well, we've got Lombard, Glen Ellen, Eastern Wheaton, and then little parts of Lyle, Downers Grove, and Oakbrook Terrace.
You're very pro-life. How's that go over in your district?
The folks in our district, we've got a lot of folks who are pro-life as well. Certainly there's a mix of opinion like there is in any community. But what we are is unified in opposing things like taxpayer-funded abortion or forcing people to participate in abortions.
And that's what we have now in Illinois, taxpayer-funded abortions through House Bill 40, thanks to Democrats in the legislature and the signature of Governor Bruce Rauner. We talked about this in the past, but you're still very disappointed.
Well, it's certainly, but what we've got to do, I've been trying to focus people on now what. We've got to remember that every year we go through an appropriations process where we get to appropriate for the Medicaid budget. And those abortions, for the most part, come out of the Medicaid budget, you know, tens of millions of dollars that are at risk. There's no reason we can't in Illinois do what they do at the federal level and put a rider on the Hyde Amendment. They adopt that every year at the federal level. There's no reason we can't do it here. And I am calling on folks and starting this, the movement of folks, to not vote to appropriate monies to Medicaid unless we make it clear we're not going to put those dollars to elective abortions.
There is a bill that's been introduced that's called No Taxpayer Funding for Abortions. Is that going to see the light of day?
Well, you know, and I drafted that, so I was glad to draft it. And it would actually stop the abortion funding at all levels. So you wouldn't let Cook County do it. It would just so that the people of Illinois would know their money's not going to go for elective abortions. We're in the minority position right now. And so, you know, that's a tough place to come from. You know, right now in the Illinois General Assembly, at least in the House, it's a very close call as to whether representatives, if allowed to vote directly on that measure, if they would pass it or not. You need 60 votes to pass. We're probably very close. If we could allow, if Madigan and his cronies would allow us to actually have the bill get a proper hearing, you know, we would be awfully close. But, you know, again, we're going to have to do a little more work and a little more work in November to try to get a few more people so that that could be a majority position in the House.
Well, what would it take to make that happen?
We need folks at home to contact their legislators, make sure they know that they are absolutely against their tax dollars being used for elective abortions. So you really have two ways of getting things done in political life. One is you change your legislator's mind. Number two is you change your legislator. That's something that I've been talking to folks about for decades in my own work, you know, before I was in the legislature, and that's the rules are still the same. Legislators look at how are they going to get elected and reelected. And if you make it clear, hey, you know what, we need you to come across and come over to our side on this. Otherwise, you're going to find a new legislator in your spot. Yeah, that's something that folks will react to.
With taxpayer-funded abortion, I read recently that it really takes Cook County off the hook because they were already paying for taxpayer-funded abortions. And in effect, now taxpayers statewide are funding abortions for Cook County to the tune of what? Maybe $18 million a year?
Well, and they were doing roughly 6,000 or so abortions at the Stroger Hospital, just at the Stroger Hospital. And so those were either done for free or in a very reduced payment amount. Now the state of Illinois, the Illinois taxpayers now will take that on our shoulders, that burden. And I know I had spoken to at least one Cook County representative who said, well, I'm not a big fan of this, but at least now I won't have to pay for it all. It'll be put on the taxpayers of the state of Illinois. It's a very cynical position, but nonetheless, that was the position. Here's the thing, though. Now that the taxpayers are going to pay for it, it's become much more profitable for Planned Parenthood and the exclusive abortion providers, so the big abortion industry, to go and just open their own clinics. So those folks won't need to go to Stroger Hospital anymore. They'll now just go to Planned Parenthood, and we at the state level will send Planned Parenthood millions and tens of millions of dollars, potentially, for all of these abortions.
And Planned Parenthood has recently opened a new mega clinic, if you want to call it a clinic, in Flossmoor. And I've also heard that while the number of abortions have actually declined in Illinois, people, the women coming from out of state for abortions, is on the increase in Illinois.
Well, and we just saw that in the most recent numbers that were published, that out-of-state abortions are starting to increase again. Remember, when we used to have a big out-of-state abortion issue because we didn't have parental notice. And all of our neighboring states, in fact, every state, if you went from Canada to Mexico across the middle of the country, we were the only state without it. And so we stopped that. We closed that loophole finally after many years of fighting in the courts. Now that's starting to ramp up again. With Medicaid funding of free abortions, any colleges that are on the Illinois border, on the other side of the Illinois border, any young people, they're going to be coming over to Illinois. They will establish temporary residency, which all it has to do is you just have to say, I live so-and-so in such-and-such a place. No one's checking. There's no Social Security requirement. There's no immigration status requirement. You come in, say you live in Illinois, you're getting a free abortion. So that is going to increase our abortion numbers from out-of-state folks.
What scenario does abortion play in this whole sanctuary state classification that we are now?
Well, and I don't know that that'll be a huge connection, but you know, certainly I know there are folks that are, you know, certain sanctuary policies might be mean that you have more people who are not legally in the country coming into the state of Illinois, and then of course they're going to add to our Medicaid rolls for a variety of medical treatments, but certainly abortion is one of those. And really, you think about it, folks who are not legally in the country, who are immigrants, are in a vulnerable position. And so those young women, when they get pregnant, they're very much at risk to being coerced or forced into having abortions here instead of having their babies, which is what we'd prefer.
There is an effort underway to repeal House Bill 40. You give that much of a chance? What do you think about that?
Well, and you know, I look at it, I like, you know, I drafted the bill, the no taxpayer funding of abortion, because there was language that we had in our public policy that said that abortion should be illegal altogether. Now look, the people of Illinois are not there. That's not where the people are. And to some extent, you know, look, we're representatives. We represent the people's positions. Where we are, though, broad consensus, no taxpayer funding. And so that, I think, has a better chance of going somewhere than doing a flat-out repeal of HB 40. There were a lot of, HB 40 had a lot of little moving parts that you don't hear as much about, and they excised certain things out of a variety of statutes. So putting them all back would actually be a little more difficult, and in some cases, again, not necessarily reflective of the broad bipartisan majority that we've got to say no taxpayer funding.
Governor Rauner also signed, Senate Bill 1564, the bill that forces pro-life medical professionals and even pregnancy care centers to give referrals for abortions. You work for the Thomas More Society. You're fighting that. Where are we now?
We're in a pretty good place right now. So we've got injunctions in place. I mean, my wife's own OB-GYN had to sue the state of Illinois in order to continue practicing medicine in this state because he did not want to have every pregnant woman that walked in have to talk to her about abortion. For heaven's sakes, you don't go to him if you want an abortion. You want to have your baby, and you know, or you want to be able to conceive, you know, with fertility. So all of that together, we've got the injunctions in place on the Illinois law. The U.S. Supreme Court is overlooking the whole scenario with the California law. We are very hopeful. We've got an amicus brief in the Supreme Court cases. We've been very involved in the Illinois cases. We are very much hopeful that the Supreme Court of the U.S. will give us a ruling that will hopefully put an end to all of this business. The real issue is it's unconstitutional to force people to speak messages that they disagree with. So your right of free speech isn't just a right to say, it's a right to not say. And to force good Christians to say, oh, support abortion or send people to abortion clinics, that's ludicrous and outrageous. It is a violation of your right to speak.
And those injunctions against 1564 could be lifted.
Well, if the California case doesn't go well in the Supreme Court, we could have issues. But right now, we're in a good place. We're cautiously optimistic. You never want to predict what a court is going to do because, we've been very confident sometimes, and then we lose. And then we've been sitting there going, gee whiz, we don't know if this one's going to go through, and all of a sudden we win. So you've got to be very cautious. But we've got the better of the arguments. And certainly we have the First Amendment, that long tradition. If you don't have free speech, you can't have a free society.
Well, what would your advice be to folks who are maybe in the medical community or maybe they're working with a pregnancy care center? What would you tell them? What should they be doing?
Like anything nowadays, you've got to be more careful than ever. So certainly consult with your local attorney, consult with us at the Thomas More Society when you're dealing with these issues. Now, on 1564, we've got the injunctions in place, so you are protected. At the same time, certainly, there are all sorts of issues that come up where the ACLU is trying to sue to force hospitals to do abortions or to do abortion pills, things like that. But we just have to continue to be vigilant about that sort of thing. And I would say if you have a Christian ministry, make sure that your foundational documents are strong and express that faith tradition that inspires you. And that can help also to ensure that you get the protections of certain laws that protect folks who have religious objections to things.
We'll take a time out and continue our conversation with State Representative Peter Breen after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcombaker.com.
The Supreme Court will hear an important case tomorrow in the ongoing abortion wars. It concerns a California law requiring pregnancy help centers to post information within their buildings informing clients where an abortion is available. Critics of the law contend it undermines their work, which is designed to tell women the truth about abortion and in many cases lead them to a changed life and lifestyle by introducing them to Jesus Christ. The pregnancy centers have lost at the lower court level, and advocates for the law say it merely presents information about the availability of abortion elsewhere and is not coercive or prejudiced in favor of the procedure. There's no similar requirement, of course, for abortion clinics to provide information about help that's given at pregnancy centers. Most women must pay for an abortion. The services at pregnancy help centers are free, so who really cares more about women? In the current anti-life climate, I fear the California law will be upheld by the Supreme Court. More babies will die and more women will be lied to. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here along with State Representative Peter Breen, 48th District, pro-life leader, works with the Thomas More Society. And in your role with the Thomas More Society, you are representing none other than David DeLayden, the undercover videographer who really has blown the whistle on Planned Parenthood and exposed what they're really up to. But he is in the midst of legal trouble. Give us an update.
Well, and this has been, we've had some wonderful developments for David recently. Now, he's still facing the 15 felony charges in California. We're fighting those for illegal undercover taping. No one in the history of the state of California has ever been prosecuted for an investigative project with that crime, and particularly not as a felony. They chose to charge it as a felony, not a misdemeanor. We're confident we're going to be able to beat those charges, but it has taken and will continue to take a while. In the civil cases, you know, there's an injunction against some of David's best videos. You haven't even seen everything he's done. The National Abortion Federation had several years of conferences. David was in there with his team. They've got great video. I can't tell you about it. I'm under a federal court injunction. I can't tell you the details. All I can say is it's something you want to see.
But how much worse can it get?
Well, again, I don't want to preview it, and I can't actually give you the details. I am literally under a federal court injunction. The same one that binds David binds me. But we're up in the U.S. Supreme Court on a petition to try to reverse that gag order injunction. And wouldn't you know it, the Supreme Court ordered the other side to file a response. You don't have to file a response. They ordered the other side to file a response because it needs to be answered. So we are very much hopeful the Supreme Court will take action and help us to get rid of that gag order. And so we've got that case. There's another case where David is being sued with the University of Washington because he filed Public Records Act requests, so FOIA requests is what we have here in Illinois. And he is now, we've gotten a small win in that one where David is now going to get entity names and be able to see the money that went, taxpayer dollars, that went to Planned Parenthood to buy baby parts, and the money's coming in from agencies that are buying baby parts from the University of Washington. And those, University of Washington is the nation's largest clearinghouse of the body parts of aborted children. So that's going to tell us a lot about this gruesome business out of Washington.
Well, Christians need to be in prayer about this and also about 1564 and the case in California before the Supreme Court, shouldn't they?
We need to be praying, and whenever you can help, you know, watch entities and organizations. So see what the Thomas More Society needs, see what your local pregnancy center needs, see what your local elected official needs. They need to both hear from you, and they may need your help. So just continue to, you know, as they say, pray and work.
I wonder what's next that we have to fight on the life side here in Illinois. They've got 1564, they've got taxpayer funding of abortions. Are they going to go after our parental notification law? Will they try to equate health care and abortion through the Equal Rights Amendment, et cetera?
Judging by their past conduct, the last thing that they tried to do a few years back was to gut our parental notice law. And it was interesting. It's the way they want to do it. They're not going to repeal it outright. But what they would do is increase the number of people who could be notified to such a large group of people that it would essentially be toothless. They wanted to add pastors to the parental notice law. Now, that sounds interesting. So, a pastor. Turns out Planned Parenthoods have pastors on staff. So from very denominations that believe in abortion. So they could actually just notify that person instead of the parent. You know, and the pastors aren't parents. The responsibility to raise your child is not with the church, it's with the parents. So even you know, Christians don't think that the church is there to raise your kid. You know, your parents are. So we may see that next. But I've got to tell you, the effort that they're really going to do is they're going to try to normalize taxpayer-funded abortion. That's their most recent fresh victory. They know they're weak on it. If we can keep up the pressure and don't let them normalize that, and don't let them make it. Our greatest threat right now as people of life, people of faith, is losing hope and thinking we've lost. The majority of the people of Illinois agree with us on these broad, whether it's parental notice or taxpayer funding, they agree with us. We've got to continue to press those fights.
When you say normalize, how do they do that? Are there certain buzzwords we need to be on the lookout for or what?
Well, just anything, say, that issue's passed. You know, that issue's settled. That's settled law. You know, settled is a word that they'll use. That fight's over with, what have you. It's the same thing they try to do with the abortion issue. You know, in 1973, when the Supreme Court decided the issue, the mainstream media said, the issue's settled. And the court said, the issue's settled. Well, the issue wasn't settled. And the reason the issue wasn't settled is because good people stood up and said, we're not going to take this. This is not the way, this is not the America we know. These are not, this is not the way you set up a civil society where you've got little children being discarded like they're waste products and what have you.
Well, you would suggest that House Bill 40 is not settled.
Absolutely. And again, the other side thought, we won it. You know, and this was, I don't think we can underestimate. House Bill 40 was the biggest victory of the abortion advocacy side in at least 20 years. That was their biggest legislative victory. It was a massive victory for them. But what they've done is they've opened up a can of worms, because this was, the settled area was we had a truce. You know, we're not going to fund this. We're not going to fund abortions. Well, they decided to break that truce. Well, hey, every year we have to approve the funding, every single year. And so this dispute is now going to be part of our every year budget process in the state of Illinois.
I want to do a little quick backtrack, but last year you told me that you had a bill out there to protect conservative free speech on college campuses. Where are we now?
I don't know if it was because of my bill, but I know the University of Illinois reacted and changed their speech policy in the wake of my bill. Now, my bill was not allowed to get out of committee, but I could tell the universities quietly were against it. They didn't want to take a public position because they realized how dangerous it is for a university, which is supposed to be a bastion of free speech and a place where we can robustly debate ideas, no matter how controversial. They decided to very quietly move the thing to kill the bill. But again, the U of I, as their public statement, did improve their free speech policy. So, you know, I'm going to take a look again as we continue forward, but we got a little victory there. I'd like to see us do some more, because some of our universities in Illinois are some of the worst rated by the national organizations for freedom of speech.
And they're shutting out pro-life speech there.
Certainly. The speech that's being squelched is going to be more on the conservative side, pro-life, again, the more Republican core elements.
All right. Thank you, Peter Breen. Now, your work with the Thomas More Society, how can people get involved with you folks, and how can they help you out?
Well, go to thomasmoresociety.org, and More is with one O, thomasmoresociety.org, and they can see the latest updates on David DeLeiden's case and many of the other things we're doing. And also they can make a financial contribution or just send a little note of encouragement. Or hey, if you need help, send a note on. There's a way to get some case assistance as well.
State Representative Peter Breen, God bless you and your work in the legislature and with the Thomas More Society. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for joining us here on the Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.